WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. There is nothing more positive than keeping the Preakness Stakes right here in Baltimore, Maryland, each and every year. Since back when, like, I drank too much to remember Sunday Silence and Ali Sheba and any of the rest of those horses back in the 80s. But in my sobriety here the last 20 years, we've always wanted to keep this race here. I think we're at a pretty pivotal point. Obviously, this week, strange things have been happening, so I go right to the top and experts. He's also an expert on the NFL, although I'm going to leave that alone because he's had his hands full with this little racing card here. He works for NBC Sports, well as NFL Network at various points. I see him at football games, and I always see him somewhere around where the Kentucky Derby winner is saddled, right off of Winter Avenue and Rogers over at Old Hilltop. We welcome Randy Moss back on. Not the football player. I always point that out. Now on Zoom, the minute they look at you, they realize you're the other Randy Moss. Randy Moss.
Hey, good to talk to you. I'm sitting here in our NBC trailer with the flickering light. And I'm looking out the window right now at the Preakness Stakes Barn. That's how close we are. So I can actually give you a firsthand report on some of the horses if you want.
Beta methods. Help me with that. You're the journalist here, Randy.
Betamethasone. It's an anti-inflammatory that has been quite in the news over the last week.
Well, let's go. I mean, you're the expert here. You travel around year after year. I remember being nationally syndicated when the Earnhardt tragedy happened, and I had to learn what a Hans device was. No idea, right? Horse racing, it's hard enough to figure out the buyer's speed number and to read the form for most people. I learned what Lasix was back in the 80s because Clem Florio and Vinnie Perrone taught me one day up at the top, right? Fill me in and help me out a little bit on where doping is and drugging and what cortisone. I mean, I liken this to the cortisone shot I got in my knee where 3 days later I felt like I could run a marathon. 4 months later, I needed surgery, right? So I know that there are anti-inflammatories that make you feel really good. I don't know what they do to a horse or how it could have gotten in this horse's system to the extent that would allow it to win a race like that.
Okay, there are a lot of different things to unpack here, so I'll try to be as brief as possible, but yet explain this the way it needs to be explained.
For idiots like me.
Okay. Betamethasone is a very commonly used anti-inflammatory in horse racing.
Advil, but you know, like that sort of people would use it.
Oh yeah, people use it all the time on horses, but you can't have any betamethasone in a horse's system, nor should you be able to when the horse races. Okay.
It's a recovery drug or no, not even a recovery drug. It's an injury drug.
It's used to alleviate, it's used for various things really, but it's used primarily to alleviate discomfort in a joint, muscular discomfort, things like that. But it also has some off-label uses. It's used, like, for example, in the cream that Baffert says was used to treat a skin rash on Medina Spirit leading up to the Kentucky Derby, which is one reason he believes why it triggered the positive test. Okay, but there are a couple points that need to be made. The testing for thoroughbred racehorses is so unbelievably sensitive. Okay, that it can trigger a positive test, in this case for Medina Spirit, at the level, get ready for this, 21 trillionths of a gram. Okay? If you were to take, and that's per milliliter of blood, if you were to take all of the betamethasone in Medina Spirit's entire system during the running of the Kentucky Derby, it comes out to 1/1,000,000th of a gram.
Would another trainer say this is an edge, or would they say this isn't an edge? It's not really an edge. It's a clerical blood error, or is it?
It's a clerical error. That's exactly what it is. And every significant veterinarian that I've had a chance to talk to about this, the top veterinarians in the sport all say that there is a 0% chance that it had any impact whatsoever on the way Medina Spirit ran in the Kentucky Derby. But having said that, the rules in horse racing, although they may need to be modified to reflect the sensitivity of these tests, the rules are the rules. And every trainer that ran a horse, not just in the Kentucky Derby, but on Kentucky Derby, Kentucky Oaks Day, in the undercard races and everything, they all knew going in how sensitive these tests are. And Medina Spirit is the only horse that came back with a positive test.
So, how often do these horses, you know, how often does a horse come down a week later in a $10,000, in a race we don't know about? How often does this happen?
Well, I wouldn't say it's rare, but it's not commonplace either. I mean, you'll see it on a racetrack, a normal racetrack. I'll just pull a number out.
And they test every horse, every race, first race, fifth race, here, Arlington. It doesn't matter. I'm sure the stringency is different in the kind of testing they do, but testing on horses is done everywhere, right?
Right. They don't test every horse in every race. There are pre-race tests that are done, which I don't know how this wasn't caught pre-race. That's another factor. And then they test the winner of each race and also any other horse that the stewards can identify and can designate for testing, steward's option. Okay. So, I mean, look, Medina Spirit came back positive, even though it's an incredibly tiny amount that had no impact. A rule's a rule. So Bob Baffert should face punishment for this. And this is not the first time, obviously, that he's had to deal with this. Unfortunately for Bob, he's been guilty of medication overages in various different circumstances 5 or 6 times over the past calendar year. I think most people are now making the assumption that the Baffert barn just needs to be more buttoned up. They need to recognize, as other trainers apparently have, that these post-race tests are so unbelievably sensitive that you've just got to pull way back on your medication regimen and not even get close to the recommended withdrawal times and things like that.
Randy Moss is joining us. He's over right outside where the Kentucky Derby winner and all the rest of the Preakness horses either are or will soon be as we get ready for the running of the Preakness Stakes here. So much of this has nothing to do with the race itself or any of the pageantry or any of the COVID. I mean, I'm fascinated by it because of the stakes, the amount of money involved, the other trainers, the betting public, integrity, all of that. But for Baffert, when you say things like, well, he's been popped more than others, does he have more horses? I mean, is there more? I'm trying to understand him versus the industry because he's such a star. It's almost like there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people who train horses in this country. He's the one of 3 or 4 we generally know about. What about all these other people running smaller operations in more humble ways, and they love their animals, and we all love the animals, right? I mean, the reason these rules exist is so that you don't dope an animal up so you can go make money off it, right? Literally, because people do that.
The reason these rules exist is to protect the horses from racing on medication that would permit them to run faster than they should be running. Okay. If a horse feels discomfort, he's going to slow down a little bit. He's going to try to protect himself. But if he's running on a medication where the horse can't feel that discomfort and runs through what should be pain, then that can end in a very bad way for a racehorse. It's also there to protect the bettors who bet on the horses, who are the lifeblood of the sport. And look, I mean, the headlines that this creates in the sport for people that don't know anything about it, casual sports fans, casual racing fans, Derby winner fails drug test. You know, you could logically assume, unless you know every bit about the situation, that this Baffert guy is cheating, trying to win the Kentucky Derby, and he got busted. But look, there's a 0% chance that Bob Baffert was using betamethasone to try to put something over on the sport and cheat his way to a Kentucky Derby.
Okay? Zero.
Betamethasone. Betamethasone is one of the very first drugs that is tested for in post-race testing. And the Kentucky Derby winner is tested to the maximum extent that technology permits. So every trainer knows that if you give a horse betamethasone too close to the race, it's going to trigger a positive test. The thought that
and you Bob might as well Baffert, not run the horse at that point, right?
Like, exactly. The thought that Bob Baffert would use betamethasone to try to cheat and get a Kentucky Derby win would be like an NFL player pulling up in the parking lot of the facility on the way to a drug test and deciding to smoke a joint in the car, or someone going in to rob a bank and handing the teller their driver's license. You know, I mean, at some point it would be so incredibly stupid that you have to realize that that's not what happened here. So, you know,
why don't they test the horse on Friday or Friday night, wake up Saturday, you say, Bob, can't run the horse. Sorry, 12-1 off the board, can't run the horse. That would seem to me to be a far better idea than 8 days later showing up at a barn in Baltimore and having this. Although it may help your ratings at NBC this week. But I mean, clearly this isn't good.
Well, that's what they do then. They do pre-race testing on horses. Now, there's a long explanation that I haven't really been able to dive into yet as to why this didn't trigger pre-race alarms before the Kentucky Derby. For some reason, perhaps betamethasone is not one of the drugs that they look for pre-race. I don't know why. But that is being done, and obviously that's going to have to be shored up a little bit as well.
Randy Moss is here. He is in Baltimore, hopefully eating good crab cakes. Randy, I'm about to do a crab cake tour, you know, going all over the state, and we're trying to get back out and do normal things there. So at least I hope you do get a crab cake. So last week I was trying to get ahead of my coverage. So I hit Baffert after he wins. I mean, my wife and I were walking the city on Derby Day. Make it, you guys, every time, and I'm going to tell Don, I'll tell all you make me want to go back to Louisville. It's been a little while, you know, like I got the itch about me because the weather was right. My boy Greg Scherer was shooting stuff. And then Baffert goes off at 12-1, wins. I see this literal look of shock in his face, right? Like all the connections. Good story. Velasquez looked, you know, shocked as well. And I'm seeing it all happen. And I hit Bob in the aftermath. And Bob's like, hey, this year, why don't I come on early? I'll come on from Santa Anita. We'll chill out. We'll hang out. We'll talk for a while. And I thought, great. I'll get Baffert early. Sunday, I show up at Costas to get a dozen crabs. And, you know, they're all horse racing people there. And they broke the news to me, to the news guy, 1 o'clock on Sunday. And I'm like, well, there goes my Baffert piece. Now he's back in the race. I'm running it again on the radio. It's like it never happened. I you know, the strangeness of how this week has been, and I hit Lafitte, all of you who are kind enough to spend time with me, what's this been like? I mean, from a media standpoint, I don't – this is a deflate gate of biblical proportions in the aftermath of a derby. We've had a lot of things here. We've had the track go dark, and we've had Spend the Buck not show up. We've had inquiries, but we've had everything. We haven't had this one.
Yeah, this is it was distressing to somebody who loves the sport. And it's distressing on a couple of levels. Number one, just the fact that it's a black eye for the sport. You know, it is. As tiny an amount of the stuff as the horse had in its system, it was a positive test. And it's not a good look. And secondarily, Bob is the face of the sport. And there were similar positive overages for medication with Justify, with Charlatan in the Arkansas Derby, twice with Gamine last year, including the Kentucky Oaks, with a horse called Merneith, and now with this horse. And Gamine last year in the Kentucky Oaks, who finished third, had a medication overage for this exact stuff, betamethasone. And after that, last October, Bob went public and said, look, this has got to stop. I'm redoubling my efforts to make sure that everything is above board, and we're going to look at everything we do with every horse. This can't happen again. We're going to make sure it doesn't happen again. And lo and behold, it happens in the biggest race in the world. So that's distressing as well. And
well, you like Bob and I like Bob and everybody likes Bob, right? And I've talked a lot about Lance Armstrong this week and a lot about likability being not culpability, right? And the journalist hat in me, you know, I'm an old newspaper guy. I mean, I'm a Missouri guy. You know, I'm a show me guy. I know the journalist in you and the humanity of you for what he's done for the sport and who he is, the time he's always given me and seeing him at Super Bowls all these years and this connection through it. But I can't make a defense. How do I know he's innocent or not? I mean, my defense would be honestly having people like you on who know more than me all the way around, whether it's Marty McGee, Dick Girardi, they'll all be at Baltimore Positive this week and try to get as much information as you can get because, like, he doesn't look innocent in the eyes of his peers, I would think, right?
Well, look, Mr. Land, I'll give you my opinion, okay? And I'm not in the Baffert barn every day, and I don't see every single thing that goes on behind.
Do they all hate each other? Do they like each other? Is it a mixed bag like golfers?
It's a mixed bag. It is.
Okay, fair enough.
And there's professional jealousy involved in there as well.
But, I can't imagine, you know? Yeah.
Right. But look, I'll give you an opinion here. Horse racing has a drug problem. Wow. And it has had a drug problem for a long time. Cycling has had a drug problem, and it's probably still does.
Not baseball, though. Baseball, no, never, baseball, never, baseball, never, 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 never.
So, I mean, there were indictments handed down last year for Jason Service and Jorge Navarro. Service won the Kentucky Derby disqualified with maximum security. Two high-profile trainers. And there were indictments and accusing them of basically having pharmacists, pharmacologists, creating performance-enhancing drugs that were designed to evade post-race tests. And everyone
Balco for ponies, literally, right? Like Balco for pony. What Barry Bonds was doing, they can make money on it in horses, and the horse doesn't talk.
What Lance Armstrong was doing. You know, it was institutionalized with the
staying American ahead of the game, banging on trash cans, but doing it with horses. Yeah,
exactly. So, I mean, that happens in horse racing, and there's going to be federal involvement now in drug testing starting in 2022. And, you know, they have pledged to try to clean some of that up, improve the post-race testing, more post-race tests for different chemicals, things like that. So hopefully that will get cleaned up. OK, that's not what this is. Okay, that is cheating big time. And that is going on. Not in a huge level, but it is going on in thoroughbred racing, and it needs to be cleaned up. What we have here, Bob Baffert, in my opinion, is not Lance Armstrong, definitely, right? This is just basically carelessness, in my opinion, and it's something that's got to be that he has got to address because it's really, really hurting the sport's image with the general public.
Randy, you're getting old like me, man. We've been doing this a long time. And, you know, I think my last name's Aparicio. So I come by the baseball thing, honestly, which led to the football thing, which led to the Ravens thing, which led to the radio thing and all these years. Right. And I remember when the East German women were growing beards, you know, back when I was a kid back in the 70s and 80s and all the doping and then living through the baseball era where Brady Anderson was in this corner and the cheating and the corking of bats and diving through lockers to steal bats out of locker. Like I it's amazing to me on all of the Olympic doping. Right. And I know you've been on that trail in all sorts of ways. The spirit of all of this, I can't think of a sport that doesn't have, you said they have a drug problem. Well, the Pittsburgh Pirates had one in 79 too, right? So you'd say when will it stop? Probably never. I mean, and that's where the police are set up, right? So you say, well, how does it stop when there's a benefit to doing it and getting away with it? Bill Belichick putting monkeys in trees with cameras, taking air out of football so you don't fumble. Like whatever the edge is, in a sport, there's going to be a lot of people involved. And this is, I guess, the larger question. I've asked everybody this week because I really got thinking about this on Sunday night. Baseball this year, I watched the Oriole broadcast. Sometimes I'm the only one. But the gambling part and the go across the Jersey state line like Springsteen, right? We're going to gamble and we're going to bet. How many people are in on all this when I think about banging trash cans in Houston, right? And in sports in general, the NFL, we say, well, they don't have a steroid problem or whatever. There's more forgiveness there. If you get popped, you take a month out, you come back, you play. I'm sure soccer, all of these sports where there's billions of dollars, it is disheartening all this way along, right? That there's always somebody cheating, but they need to make the police stronger on that or the drug testing, right?
Yeah, human nature. Anytime there's money to be made at something, if you take an unfair advantage, then there are going to be people that will try to take advantage of that. And you know, one of the positive things, in my opinion, that's gone on with this in horse racing is the Horsemen's Safety and Integrity Act, Racing Safety and Integrity Act that was passed last year in Washington, that is taking the U.S. anti-doping agency headed by Travis Tiger that's in charge now of helping clean up the Olympic sport in America, that is on the forefront of post-race drug testing and even pre-race, and now putting all of horse racing testing under their umbrella. That's going to start in 2022. Right now, every state has its own rules. Every state has its own medication guidelines. Every state can pick its own post-race testing regimen. It's like boxing. Yeah. Every state has its own commission, right? Now, all the testing is going to be not only centralized and overseen by a federal agency, but it's also going to be tested theoretically in a much, much more diligent way with more money behind the testing to develop new tests for these drugs in horse racing. So it's not going to completely do away with it 100%. That's never going to happen, as you pointed out, in any sport. But I think in horse racing, it's going to be a step in the right direction. It's something that's been needed for a long time.
Randy Moss is here doing all things Pickens. So we come this far. There's a race, right? There's horses in it and connections. And this is the race where they come and try to beat the Kentucky Derby winner. I would think ratings will be up this week, right? I mean, I think as much as you say it's bad, it's black eye, it's all that, but it's come see me too. And Baltimore's on display here this week, which all of our charm and all of our crab cakes and all of that stuff. And obviously Pimlico, maybe the end, maybe we're building something new. I mean, we're always kicking that thing. I've told people all week, if you would have told me back in 1991, when I started this show, they'd still be racing 30 years later in that place without replacing a lug nut in the toilet. I would say there's no way that the rate, there'd be too much money. It feels like we're going to keep the thing, right? So, I mean, that was always the topic. Now that there's the race itself and who wins the race, it's always an interesting race.
Yeah, and it's interesting this year because Bob Afford could easily win the Preakness Stakes and not with Medina Spirit. He's got another horse in the race named Concert Tour.
Which we're all waiting for a Concert Tour, right? It's been too long.
Exactly.
Shows, right?
And hopefully we'll get those this year. Midnight Bourbon, a horse that was beaten in the Kentucky Derby, got off to a poor start, or ran a good race. Given the circumstances, if he gets a better trip in the Preakness, he could easily win the race. To me, if it's not going to be Medina Spirit, it's probably going to be one of those two horses. But the Preakness is always a fascinating race, one of my favorite races of the year, because you get to analyze the horses coming out of the Kentucky Derby, go back, look at the way they ran, you know, take all of our NBC, 30 NBC cameras, and dissect everything. And then you merge in the horses that didn't run in the Derby that are now the new shooter, so to speak, like Concert Tour. I can't wait to see what happens.
Somewhere there's somebody distilling whiskey and there's a seed somewhere that's going to grow the mint that's going to come together with the julep that I'm going to enjoy in Louisville at some point. I'm not going to let too many more go. I'm getting old. I mean, I'm not going to let too many more go by without getting back down there. You guys do a great job of making me want to go, I'll tell you. And especially when Mother Nature cooperates. I know you've had a couple of mutters down there too. I'll talk to Donna about that later.
Yeah, you know, I didn't know what to expect this year, Nestor, when we went to the Derby, because they obviously had substantially limited the number of fans that were going to be in the grandstand in the infield. And I thought, is it going to feel the same? Is it going to be the same atmosphere?
Well, Baffert told me a lot of the horses have never seen people. And that on Derby Day, it was really weird for all of them because it's been a year where there's been no people.
That's true. And horses do not like racket. Horses do not like loud noises. They do not like crowds for the most part. Horses like tranquil, quiet environments. That's what they were accustomed to racing. So nobody knew now when you go to the Kentucky Derby and suddenly they're seeing crowds in the paddock for the first time and noise during the running of the race, how they would handle it. Turns out most of them handled it extremely well. But I was pleasantly surprised that the Kentucky Oaks and Kentucky Derby, even with limited attendance, felt like an event. It felt like the Derby in the Oaks. Now, that's probably relative because, you know, it's something that we hadn't experienced either for a long time. But it was really nice to see, and I'm really looking forward to Preakness Day here now.
Randy, I'm not dressed up right now in my Costa shirt, but, you know, I got a little seersucker put away. My wife's away this week with her sister up in New Hampshire, so I might sneak out the old hilltop. You may see me sniffing around my long hair, my rock and roll hair going on here, but I appreciate your time as always. We'll get you back on to talk about how Lamar's going to win the Super Bowl, and we're all going to Los Angeles next year, all right?
And maybe in the interim, you'll see me having crab cakes or crabs somewhere. I've already had two crab cakes last night, my first
Let's
day
go,
here.
Let's go, Costas, whenever you want, buddy. We're here all week, man. you find 2 hours. You get the crew. You bring them over, or I'll ship you some up from Fadley's from downtown here, Lexington Market.
Hey, it's one of my favorite places, Fadley's, right.
Well, come on. We're starting the tour Friday morning with John Sarbanes, with Nancy and Damie. The crab cake tour begins the day before the Preakness. We're doing the morning with Costas. My breakfast is a crab cake on Friday, and then my dinner at Costas Inn, their 50th anniversary. So we're celebrating local. But, you know, it's been so hard with local business in the Chesapeake Bay and crabs and crabbing. Trump wasn't letting people in to pick my people, Venezuelans, to pick crabs on the Eastern Shore. So we're trying to get back to normalcy here and get out. This is going to be the first normal thing I do with people, you know, on Saturday. I did a golf tournament a couple weeks ago. We were all distance and mask up for charity. But this is like the first time I'm going someplace where there's more than like a grocery store and people, you know?
I'll tune in. That sounds
elbow bump. Cool. I got two shots, Randy. Come on, man.
I'll live vicariously through you Saturday morning while I'm cooped up here preparing for the Preakness.
Oh, we'll be watching. I'll be home, you know, in time to watch the 9th race, 10th race and get ready and get me a black-eyed Susan. Randy Moss, you can follow him out on Twitter and NFL Network, NBC, Racing, Preakness, and always a great guest and foil for me. Randy, take care, all right? Don't eat Taurus crab cakes. Don't ever do that. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.